few years ago, I received a letter from a very famous preacher in America, and if I called his name, most of you would recognize the name. He said, "Dr. Hiles, I'm having a convention." He's a man who has much influence around the country. And he said, "I'm having a convention. I'd like you to come to my state, and I'd like you to be the main speaker at that convention." And I did go, and you'll forgive me for being a little bit boastful, but most of the people at that convention were my crowd. For that I mean, they came, I hate to say it this way because you'll think I'm conceited, and it's awful hard for a fellow as handsome as I am not to be conceited. But now all over the country it'll be, "Hiles thinks he's handsome." And no, I don't. But I get tired of bucking public opinion. But anyway, you liked that, didn't you? Jealousy is filling the platform this morning. I can feel it all over the platform. And anyway, the truth is, most of the people there were my friends, and so I preached several times, and we had a wonderful time, I think. When it was over, I went to the airport, and nobody asked me a thing about how much my expenses were. And I had spent, I guess, $175, plane ticket, and transportation to and from the airport, and plus clothes cleaned and pressed, and a few meals I had to eat, and I guess $175. Well, you wait around asking for somebody to ask you what were your expenses so we can reimburse you. And nobody asked me. And I came back, and waited, and I'm still waiting now. It's been 5 years, and I'm still waiting. A preacher that was on the program with me called me on the phone and said, "Dr. Hiles, did you ever get your expense check?" And I said, "No, I didn't." He said, "I didn't either." He said, "I'll never go back there again." He said, "Boy, we've learned our lesson, haven't we?" And I said, "I haven't." He said, "What do you mean?" I said, "Well, I've been invited back there again next year, same convention. I plan to go." "Why," he said, "you're a fool." And I said, "Yes, I plan to stay a fool, too." He said, "He's just using you." And I said, "Isn't that wonderful? Isn't it wonderful?" Ask Mrs. Redipenny if she wouldn't like to be used again this morning. Ask her if she wouldn't like for some little children with dirty noses to come and be used of her, use her this morning. Ask her if it would be a wonderful, wonderful thing if she could turn back the calendar to the days when the children ran around the house and the telephone rang often and folks often knocked on the door and the house, the beehive of activity, and folks were using her this morning. And so he said, "I think it's sort of crazy." I said, "It may be crazy, but I'd like to be used." "He's just using you." I said, "Yeah, he's going to use me again this next year, too." I went back the next year. I waited for him to... We had a good crowd, and most of the crowd was my crowd. And after it's all over, I went to a study and sort of waited around for him to ask me how much expenses were. Plane tickets had gone up 5%, and now I've expensed about $200 that year. And I waited, and I said, "I had a good flight." "Flight? Fly?" "You know, I had to fly down here." He said, "I'm glad you did. Hope you had a safe trip back." I said, "Boy," I said, "yeah, I'm a fly back. Like I flew down here, fly. I said, "This is what time I leave." I took out my ticket, held my ticket up there like that. Said, ticket, leave. And held a point of the price. He said, I'll get you and take you to the airport. Brought me to the airport, and not a word about expenses. That's $200. And I came home and I waited, and I'm still waiting. It's been 4 years now, and still no expenses. Another fellow called me on the phone that was a singer at meeting. He said, "Dr. Hiles," he said, "I haven't gotten my expense check yet. Have you?" I said, "No, haven't got it for last year either yet." He said, "I tell you what, aren't you glad we found out about him?" I said, "What'd you find out about him?" He said, "Well, we found out not to go there anymore." I said, Not me. I said, "God bless us. We had a wonderful meeting. I can tell you some preachers across America right now whose lives were transformed and churches were completely transformed at that meeting." And the fellow said, "He's not going to use me like that." And I said, "I'll let him use me like that." "You say you like it?" "No, I always enjoy getting an expense check. In fact, I enjoy sometimes getting a little more than an expense check." And, "No, I didn't like it." But he wrote me again and said, "Look, we had such a good meeting last year. Would you come back for our national convention again this next year? I wrote back and said, yes, I'll come back. And I saw this preacher and singer both one place, and they said, you go back there again? I said, yeah.
Well, he's just going to use you.
I said, yeah, and I plan to be used, and I like to be used. There's a boy in this church, young man, got saved here, got called to preach here. I was his hero. He came to me every decision he made. He loved me very much, and I loved him and still do. And one day he came in and said, thank God's calling me to preach, and we prayed about it. He came down the aisle and started to preach the gospel. That boy, fine young man, he went off to college. Time came to get ordained. I think I recommended him, maybe not, to his church. No, not that one. But time came to get ordained, and then I ordained him. And I was his preacher. I was his hero. He wrote me often. He had a problem, he'd call. He needed advice, he'd call. A large church opened up, and I recommended him to that large church. And I told the people. They wrote me and said, we need a pastor. And I said, I can tell you, splendid young man. And I recommended him. And boy, one of the first things you want to do is have me in the church. But a little later, he got probably a little embarrassed about me because I had some convictions, maybe they were a little stronger than maybe what his church had. And he had Dr. John Rice coming, and so he canceled out Dr. John Rice and canceled out his pastor. And I wept. And I can't go to his church now. I don't know why. I just can't go. Cancel Dr. Rice out. Cancel me out. By the way, when you cancel Dr. Rice out, you cancel me out too automatically. And any of my friends, for that matter. And so he cancels out. And somebody said, for the house, I heard about that. That fella just used you. I said, isn't that wonderful? Isn't it wonderful to be used? Ask some dear lady this morning who's never been used or has been used in years. Ask some mother who used to hear the pitter-patter of little feet around the house and would love to see handprints on the towels again. Who used to say, I wish I could never see, I wish your towels were clean. They're clean now. They're clean now. Ask some mother who's up in years, 80, 85, 90 years of age. Ask if it would be wonderful if she could be used again. There's a young man in Texas. I think the finest preacher student I ever had, the finest prospect for the ministry I ever had. He married into our family. I've never seen a young preacher could preach like that young man. Went to college. He doesn't know it. Well, I guess he does know it some too. When he got in trouble in college, I sent him money. I went down went to the place where he was going to college and went to a bank and borrowed money on my own signature at the bank where they knew me. Went down and bought an Assembly of God church building that was for sale and gave it to him so he could start a church. When they were hungry, I sent money. Time and time again, I've put money in an envelope. Shouldn't do that, but I've done it in an envelope, unsigned, and sent it to them. I've paid the tuition. I've sent the tuition money to the college business office and kept him in school and got him started. One time when he was near us, his car broke down. I gave him a car. It was a used car, but I gave it to him. Just said, here it is, one of our cars. Take it. You're going to have it. Where is he now? He's divorced from the little lady in our family. And he's in sin and living for the devil. And drinking liquor and doing nothing for God. I recall I saw him in a motel not long ago. He didn't know I was in 1,000 miles there. I woke up and I saw him in the back, had long shaggy hair. I woke up and gave him $3, said that's for a haircut, and walked on. And he said, hey, come here. And I went back and talked to him a while. Somebody said, boy, I bet you learned your lesson. No, I didn't learn my lesson. And if I can, I'll buy it. Church to somebody else one of these days. And if I can, if a fellow needs a car, I'll give it to him. And if somebody I love is in need of some tuition money, and I have it, I'll send it to the college where they're going and try to help them. Hey, you say you're a sucker. Yeah, I know, and I like being a sucker, and I plan to stay a sucker. And you'd be happier if you were a sucker. But they're just using you. I don't know anything any more wonderful than being used. Oh, listen, to be used. You say, hey, for the house. Somebody said, that's not fair. I know it's not fair, but I plan to be a sucker again. Somebody said, he's just after you for what he can get out of you. I know, but I happen to like to give. The lady sat in my office, last night? And she said, Dr. Evans, Mrs. Evans, has been paying my way to college. said, "They don't know I know it, but I overheard Dr. Evans tell his wife, 'We're going to keep that girl in school. She's been good to us. She's done us some favors. We're going to keep that girl in school.'" And she said, I know they're doing it. God bless these good teachers and administrators who sacrifice. And this same young lady told me, she said, "I had money for school. Had over $400 saved up. But," she said, some other students this last semester couldn't stay in school and helped them pay their bill. Now I don't have money to stay in school myself." And she said, "But I can't take the money from Dr. and Ms. Evans. I just can't do it." She said, "What can I do? I can't take the money." And I said, "Fools, that the people you tried to help wouldn't have taken your money." She said, "That made me very sad." I said, "How do you think it's going to make Dr. and Ms. Evans feel then when you don't take what they want to give?" I said, "Young lady, you listen to me." I said, "Don't you ever steal from anybody their privilege of giving. Don't you ever steal their privilege of giving." "Well, I know you're going to be used. Listen, I'll tell you, I've got tens of thousands of dollars that I've given away. Just given away." And the fellow went out and got drunk with it, maybe. You say, "You're going to give some more away?" "Yep, want to give some more away. All you drunks can come by after the service again this morning if you want to." "Yeah." You say, "Well, you're a sucker." "Now, I know it, and I like being a sucker." "You're a soft touch." "I'd rather be a soft touch than hard boiled." And somebody said, "Well, Brother Hiles, do you ever feel used?" "Yeah, sure do. It's a wonderful feeling." Somebody asked the other day, said, "Brother Hiles, do you ever feel like a machine?" "You'll forgive me, but I feel like a machine much of the time. I feel like a vending machine. I go away to preach somewhere, and they put me in a room, and they come in, they put a quarter in the slot, and I walk out, and I preach. When I finish preaching, I walk back in the room. Man, nobody ever comes by much unless they need some help. Only time anybody ever comes and knocks on my door out of town is some preacher saying, 'Brother Hiles, I heard you're in town. I got a problem. I got to talk to you. I got to ask this question. You're the only man in the world can help me.' Telephone rings. 'Brother Hiles, Brother Hiles, I've got to talk to you. I've driven 300 miles. I heard you're out here in this area. I've driven 300 miles. I've got to talk to you. My church is going to the dog. You're the only man in the world can help me.'" And they get through. They put a little quarter in. I wish they would put a quarter in. But I feel that way. I feel like a machine. They come and get me. I preach at 7 o'clock. They come get me at 6:30. They drive me up there. They put me on the pulpit, and they introduce me. And then I get up, and they put a quarter in, and I say, I am so happy to be here. And good morning, ladies. I preach so often, sometimes I wake up in the morning, and I say, "Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. I'm so glad to be here. And hope we'll have a good service." You say, "Well, you ever feel like you're used?" "Yeah, I feel like I'm used an awful lot." You say, "Ever get tired of it?" "Never get tired of it. Never get tired of it." Folks come to my office door. They walk in. Nobody ever comes by and says, "Brother Hiles, just came by to tell you, glory to God, praise the Lord, everything's fine." Well, one lady did one time, but it took 3 days to revive me. They come in. "Brother Hiles, I got a problem." Now, those same people, I may spend hours with them on their problems. And I may spend weeks and months with them. I could tell you a dozen families like that. I've given them my time, way into the night, sometimes past midnight, months and months and sometimes years. And then I disappoint them one time, they get mad and leave the church. One time. I mean, I've helped folks raise children. And every time they had a problem, they've come to me with a problem. And I've tried to help, and I've always tried to help, and been the pastor and loved the kids and tried to make something out of them. And the kids grow up. And maybe one little thing will happen, and the whole family get mad and leave the church. You say, "Does that affect you?" "Breaks my heart, really." You say, "Brother Hiles, I wish I had a hide like yours. I wish I didn't care what folks think." If you had a hide like mine, you'd care what folks think. If you had a hide like mine, you'd cry when folks don't love you. If you had a hide like mine, you'd be sorry when people turn on you. But you say, "Brother Hiles, you ever get to a place where you say, 'Okay, hang it all. I'm not going to be used like this anymore.'" No. Had to do over again. I do it all over again. All over again. Why? I want to be used. You say, "Brother Hiles, folks take advantage of you." I want you to take advantage of me. "Well, Brother Hiles, folks, you're a sucker." I know. I want to be a sucker. Listen, I only have one life to live, and I don't want to live it bitter and seeking vengeance, and I don't want to get those that... I know some folks despitefully use me. I know it. I recommend preachers all the time to churches, and then sometimes Many of them won't even have me, and they criticized me. Down East Texas one time, I went down to way out in the country, made a visit, and won a family to Christ. They came out to our church. I won the young man to Christ when he was a boy. I taught him everything about the Bible he knew. I won his one other family to Christ. They had a lovely daughter, and the boy fell in love with this daughter. And I got them together, and I performed the ceremony, and licensed and ordained and preached. And now he's a missionary on the foreign field. He comes back to the States. He sees me. He won't even speak to me. You know why? I'm not his brand of Baptist. And he won't speak to me. He says, "House, you bitter about it?" "No, I'm not bitter about it." "Well, Brother House, how do you feel about it?" "I thank God I got to win his family and got to win her family and got to teach him and got to train him." You say, "You're happy because he doesn't speak?" "No, I'm very unhappy because he doesn't speak. And I'm very sad because he won't speak. And I'm very sad because he doesn't love me anymore." Well, you say, "Boy, you learned your lesson." "Yeah, I learned my lesson. I learned it's worth it." When I left Garland to come up here, my heart broke. The last night we were there, I drove around all night long. Drove to house after house and sat out in front of the houses and cried. Well, I thought I couldn't cry anymore. My heart hurt and it broke, and I thought I could not take it any longer. And when we left to come here, I got out of the car at the said limit sign and got on my knees and said, "I can't leave these people. I've won them all to Christ. They're my babies." I took over the church when we had 44 people, and now we have 4,129, and I can't leave it. And then my heart broke. And I came up here and I said, "I'll never fall in love with the church again. I won't do it. I don't want to hurt like that anymore." But I've done gone and fallen in love again. In fact, I'm more in love with this church than any church I've ever had in my life. And you see, Brother House, someday you may be hurt again. I'd rather, who was it said, Shakespeare, "Better to have loved and lost than never to have loved at all." And it's better to love and hurt. Yeah. Somebody said, "You got too close to David. You're going to have to give him up one of these days. And you're going to break your heart." Yeah. I choked up when I left the house Friday morning. Sure. I choked up when I looked up in the window of where his room was for 17 years. Sure, I choked up. I choked up Thursday night when I went upstairs and he had his clothes, taking him out of the house. Sure, I did. Let me tell you something. And you don't forget this. Brother, to get to serve mankind and get to love people and get to care for people, that's all the joy we have a right to in life anyway. And if a broken heart comes along with it, I'll take a broken heart. And if somebody turns their back on me and I get to serve mankind, let them turn their back. I'll weep and get up and say, "Bless God, somebody got to use me and somebody used me again." Somebody said, "Well, Brother Hump, he'll ditch you when he gets through with you. You'll forgive me, but I don't help people so they can say thank you. I help folks cause they're in trouble." If that little girl over here on the aisle here, Cindy, please take the baby out right this minute, please. And use the nursery if you would tonight. Quickly, ushers, help her out. Usher, quickly, just help her out the place, quickly. That's right. We're glad to have people here, but please use the nursery. We need to be heard. This is a philosophy here that most people never learn, and you need to learn it. You need to learn it. If that little girl over there on the aisle, Cindy Hiles, if she grows up and becomes a good Christian and serves God and is clean and decent and lives in the will of God, and she puts me in a rest home somewhere and she never comes to see me and never writes a letter to me, I'll shout and praise God all the time I'm there, because I got to be used of God to make something out of it. If Becky Hiles were to get to the place to where she never has anything to do with her dad, and she won't even own me, and she says, "He's my dad, but I won't own him, I'll disown him," I never get a letter from her. She puts me off at some rest home to rot and decay, never a Christmas present, never a letter, never a card, never a phone call. And if she's still a fine preacher's wife and serves God and has a bus route like she does now, and if Linda Hiles gets the place where she does the same thing, and if David Hiles gets the place where he's too busy for his dad, but he's a faithful preacher like he is now, he loves God, he loves this book. I didn't raise those kids to make me feel good when I got old. I raised them so they'd serve God and be in the will of God. So they'd they'll use you. Let them use me. God, give us a delight to be used of God and be used of others. Somebody said, well, I'm not going to be a servant. I'm not going to be your servant. Yeah, you're going to be a miserable wretch the rest of your life, too. Make me a servant. I'll be your servant. Sometimes some father will say, well, I work my hand to the bone, and I provide and provide. I sometimes kid the kids about that. You know, I'll walk in, Cindy will hit me in the stomach, you know, and I'll say, don't lift up your hand against God's anointed. And she'll hit me in the stomach, and I'll say, yeah, I'm an old man now. When I was young and handsome, I said, you love me, and I've worked my hand to the bone, provided for you, provided in all these years, all I've done, and now what I get, a hit in the stomach. And so forth. But it may be that way. It may be, I'm not going to be a servant and be run over. Folks that run over the happiest people. I'm saying folks that are used are the happiest people. I'm saying folks that are willing to realize that someday, though you may be used, you may be entertaining an angel unaware and not know about it. They're the happiest people. Somebody said, Brother Hiles, they don't appreciate you. I'm not trying to get appreciated. I'm trying to serve people. But they don't, Brother Hiles, they didn't even say thank you. Now, I love a thank you. I love those little notes. I love the little kids that stay in the nursery on Saturday coming down the door while we're having an executive meeting of the college board. And they'll scream out there, by, we love you, Brother Hiles! And I scream back, I love you, too! And I like that. Anybody's got any sense likes that. But I tell you what, if they don't give it, I'm still going to serve them. And if they don't write little notes and stick them under the door, I'm still going to serve them. And if they don't write hugs and kisses, X's and zeros, and put them under the door, I'm still going to serve them. You know how? They ever disappoint you? Yeah. I've had several come to my office, little girls that used to jump up in my arms when they were little kids about 2 and 3 years old and say, you're best teacher in the whole world. And I say, I know it. They kiss me, and I like to say, kiss me on the cheek. I did this the other day to the best man in the ring bearer at the rehearsal. And I said, when I say three, Trina, you kiss this cheek. And Todd, when I say three, you kiss this cheek. I put my hand behind their head and went, one, you ready? You ready? Two, three. I pull back, and they kiss each other. You say, boy, you're trying to get the 3 and 3-year-olds to kiss now. Yeah, but you got to stop when you get 10, I'll tell you for sure. And I'll say sometimes, when I say three, kiss this cheek. One, two, three. I'll turn like that, and they'll be coming at me, and they'll get me right in the mouth. I said the cheek, not the mouth. okay, ready? Yeah, okay. One, two, three. And I turn my, about the time they start coming, I turn my face, and they get me in the mouth. I said the cheek, not the mouth. And you know I love the kids. I was looking at these young ladies down here. Fellas, look at these young ladies. Look at the grace and charm. Look how they're sitting. God pity this short wearing bikini, wearing pant, wearing pagan generation. Don't take one good look at decent young ladies who've been trained right. And watch them grow up. And the mother comes and says, Brother Hiles, my daughter is not, she's in trouble. My daughter, she's rebelling. Or my daughter got kicked out of school. And they come to my office. And they have a hard look on their face. And you can always see it. You can always see it. Have a hard look on their face. And they're rebelling against mom and dad. And they'll look at me with a brazen look. And I remember those days when those same little eyes sparkled when Brother Hiles came by. And those same little lips through which now come words of criticism about the preacher and what he believes. And what we stand for about our schools. Those are the same little lips used to kiss me on the cheek and say, I love a preacher. And those same hands that grip there like this and hold taut like this, those same little hands used to pat me on the cheek and say, you're the best preacher in the whole world. So how do you feel about it? I've cried buckets of tears over it, but I'm still going to keep on loving the little girls. And thank God. You know, Brother Hiles, did they ever say thanks? Hey, just a few of these young people down here like we have. That's all the thanks I want. You just give me every once in a while. Like that little girl that came to the office and said, Brother Hiles, I'm going to have a baby. And she's one of our Sunday school girls here. I'm going to have a baby. And I said, okay. I'm sorry. And I cried. But I said, I'm not going to turn on you. I said, you come by every Saturday afternoon, and we'll have about 30 minutes together every Saturday afternoon. She was about 3 months pregnant. She came by every Saturday for 6 months. And And she started getting bigger, you know, and she'd come in, and I'd laugh at her. And I'd say, I just got a telegram about you, so I offered you a job. She said, what? I said, the Chicago Bears, won't you play tackle on the football team? And she'd laugh and laugh, and every Saturday I played with her. And I became her dad, and she called me dad. And she got to where she looked forward to coming, and we'd laugh and pray and have a good time together. And she knew she couldn't keep the baby. And I found a home, a way for the baby. And she went to the hospital up here and gave birth to the baby and never saw it. And somebody has the baby now. And she comes in to see me. And it's Christmas. She brought me a nice half Christmas present, and she called me dad. He said, well, the house, you ever get tired of your news? No, you give me one like that every once in a while, and I'll make it fine, thank you. You give me one like little Susan Veazey. She doesn't mind me calling her name. Little Susan Veazey got in with a gang of girls and at school, and they weren't doing well. And Susan, I was worried about her. Then she didn't ever go out and get drunk, but I was afraid she was going that direction. And I got these five girls, and I tried so hard to get these. One girl was a leader, one of them. She caused more havoc in our high school than any girl that's ever been in our high school. And she got these five girls together, and then she moved away to another state. And these girls got in trouble, and I wanted to salvage them, and I tried, and I prayed, and I cried, and everything I could do. I even sent them out to eat, you know, on me, sent all five of them out to eat once a week, and tried to help them and create a special class for them. And it looked like none of them were going to knock anything. But it looks like Susan's going to make it now, bless God. And I got a letter, Brother Fifth, the other day from out in California from the girl that started the whole thing. And she wrote me a letter. I mean, she was on dope. I mean, she spread dope. I mean, she gave dope folks in our high school. Wrote me a letter and said, Brother Hiles, I wanted to write you and tell you I'm sorry. She said, Brother Hiles, I was so wicked, and I'm so sorry. And then she said, Brother Hiles, she said, I got right with God not long ago, and I'm in a Christian college, and I'm preparing for the mission field. And I clapped my hands and said, it's worth it after all, thank God. Yeah! Let them use me! Let them call me names! Let them take what I've got and turn their back! Let them do it! You give me a few like that, I'll make it fine. I'll make it fine. You give me a few like Leonard Sunday, one of our fine men now in the church here. You give me a few like old Frank Call that came and got right with God just the other day. You give me a few like that long. Yeah, go ahead and use me. But Brother Hiles, they won't appreciate it. That doesn't make any difference. They'll take your money and then and leave you. That don't make any difference. Well, they'll not be grateful. You know what I mean? They'll make a fool out of you. Okay, I was a fool before I met them. I'll just go ahead and be a fool. What I'm trying to say, oh my God in heaven, people need help. And I'm not going to quit helping folks because a few take advantage of me. And forgive me, I'm still glad I help them. A fellow who's hungry, and I feed him, he's just as fed if he never comes back to say thank you. Fellow that's naked, and I clothe him, he's just as clothed as if he never comes back and says thank you. Why don't you decide in the early part of 1976 you're going to be used? But wait a minute, if I don't have the Frank Crawl, listen carefully, if I don't have the Frank Crawl, and if I don't have the visas, and if I don't have the Sundays, and if none of them turn out right, and all of them go to the devil, and everybody uses me, I'm still going to do it. Say, why? For the Bible says we're going to face the Lord one of these days, and the Lord's going to say, I was in prison, and you visited me. I was sick, and you came to see me. I was hungry, and you fed me. I was naked, and you clothed me. And we're going to say, Lord, we didn't ever go see you in prison. We didn't ever feed you when you're hungry. When did we feed you? When did we give you some clothes to wear? And our Lord's going to say, inasmuch as you've done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me. I'm simply saying, why don't you say, I'm going to help people in trouble? You're missing something. Listen, your hand is that way. You're not near as happy as if your hand is that way. I haven't got any money. I've got... I got $21, and I got to figure out tomorrow how to get some. You said, where'd it go? Well, I won't tell you where it all went, but it didn't go to me. And I'm broke, and I don't have a savings account. And I had to send my quarterly income tax report in this last week, and I wrote the check, and now I got about 3 days to figure out how to get some money to cover that income tax check there. They call those hot checks. Somebody said,
I bet you're rich.
I am. I haven't got any money.
I bet you're rich.
Somebody said, Al Gomez, he built that big house up there on Highway 30, gorgeous, giant of a house. And all over town, they said, that's Hiles' house. Hiles' house. One fellow said, yeah, don't kid me. You say you haven't got any money. You got some stashed away. I said, help me find it. No, I don't have any money. I've got, we just ordered, just ordered 15,000 more copies of the of How to Rear Children. That makes 100,000 copies in 3 years. Did you know how much money that could have been mine off that book if I'd taken it all? Huh? I could have, if I had watched carefully and not given anything away, I could have cleared for Jack Hiles in my bank account $250,000 in the last 3 years off that one book alone. So how much have you cleared? You know how many books I give away? Up in the book room. Miss Beauty shakes her head all the time, gets mad at me and everything else. Why? Give them away. Why? I'll tell you what. Listen, you see that $10 bill right there? There's nothing in the world that'll bring me as much joy with that $10 bill, or you either, as giving it to somebody that needs it.
Use me!
I was... Look, it's in the newspaper. A little article here. Picture of a little girl on the front. Hope I can read this. Lisa Cabasa. A little girl, 9 years old. Her brother's 11. He has had a birthday party the other day. She went to the birthday party. 6:30 in the afternoon over here in Chicago. She's coming home. And some wicked man or demented man attacked her, raped her, and murdered her, and left her body in the snow. I got this note. This little girl was saved on bus route 161, a D bus route, one of Dan Gower's routes. Had a little girl that was found in the snow, sat over here, probably in the section, some of these little bus kids. And somebody loved her enough to go out one Saturday, probably when it was zero, like it was yesterday. And that little girl's feet had been in this auditorium, and they've walked down these aisles. And that little girl had somebody get up early in the morning before sunup and drive across Chicago. She may have been number 113 on a bus one Sunday, I don't know. But if she was, I'm glad we didn't pass her by. Hey, Tribune, why don't you put that in the paper? Put that in the paper. I tell you what, I'm simply saying, Dan Gower's sure wonderful to be used, isn't it? Sure wonderful to be used. What you ought to say this in the early hours of this year is, oh, God, use me. I was in Ohio the other day, about a year ago, in Ohio, and a couple came up and said, Dr. Hiles, we want to have a baby. We've been married a long time. We can't have a baby. Said, would you pray for us to have a baby? And I got a little olive oil and put the olive oil on the lady's head, and I said, oh God, I said, if it please you, why don't you give this couple a baby? A year later I was back in Ohio. A couple walked up and grinning all over and had a little blanket here all wrapped up, and they pulled back that blanket and then pulled back another one and then pulled back another one and pulled back another one and pulled back another and pulled back another. And way down in there that July day, in the bottom there was a little old shriveled up. Babies aren't born shriveled up. We shrivel them up with all of us. And little old baby there. And they said, Brother Hiles, you know who we are. And I said, no, I don't. And they said, 1 year ago, almost to the day, you bowed your head and anointed my... He said, you know, my wife's head with oil. And you asked God to give us a baby. And God opened her womb. And this baby was born about 9 or 10 months after you prayed. And I went to my room that night and I said, oh, I'd rather be used of God than anything I know in the whole world. Night after night, across this country, I've seen preachers get on fire for God. I've seen some of the greatest preachers in America now, in years past. I'd be complaining maybe a little bit in my heart because Maybe I was lonesome, and maybe after the service there's no way to get home. And I've walked home many a time from a service when a preacher forgot I was there, and I've walked 2 or 3 miles to a motel room. And sometimes I felt a little bit like, well, what? Look, I get through preaching, somebody ought to care to take me home anyhow. And up in Canada one night, I preached and made some folks mad, and they made me sleep on the floor, and so forth. And yet all across this country, I've seen young men get right with God, and I've seen them come down aisles and get the fire of God in their soul. And I've gone back year after year and year after year and seen those young men become the Ray Batemas and the Ron Schaefers and the Wally Beatties and the Bob Moores. All of them got right with God in one of my meetings and got on the fire for God in one of my meetings. And I've seen great churches rise up across this land. And I still, to this day, sometimes go back to my room, and I know God has been there, and I know God has used me. And I get on my knees beside a bed in a lonely room, and I say, oh, the greatest thing I know in this world, God used me again tonight. Oh, God used me. Yeah, they're going to despitefully use me. Of course they're going to take all they can get, and sometimes not even, of course they are. But blessed be God, what a way to live. What a way to live. And go to bed at night, and something touches you on the shoulder, and you feel the arms of the Father. And you look up and say, God, I wasn't much, but I believe you used me today. I don't know anything any greater than that. Yeah. To be used of God. To be used of God. To help somebody. Look all around you. Find someone in need. Help somebody today. Though it be little, a neighborly deed. Help somebody today. Help somebody today. Somebody along this dreary way. Let sorrows be ended, the friendless befriended. Help somebody today. Let us pray.